Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Senator Santorum, I want to start with you.
Thank you.
Of course. Leno or Conan?
I'm neither. Probably Leno, but I don't watch either. Sorry.
Elvis or Johnny Cash?
Oh, that's really tough. Both. Both.
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
I've got Christmas with Elvis on my iPod.
Mr. Speaker, Dancing with the Stars or American Idol?
American Idol.
You're listening to NSR, National Radio.
Thank you very much. Listening to the Savage Nation, what you just heard is the collapse of the American political system. You have heard the degeneration of the American political system to a level it can never recover from. Last night, there was a Republican debate in New Hampshire covered of all places by the Republican-hating CNN. And the schmuck who was running it, this moron, John King, who I really never heard of, had the audacity to not ask about Muslim terrorism, not ask about the economy, not ask about the cost of illegal aliens, not ask about the insane spending of Obama. Instead, he asked these idiots on the Republican side, people who could never win, by the way, people who've dropped out of running, such as Senator Sanitarium. He's asking him whether he would watch Leno or Conan. Of course, I don't watch any of those fools. Then he asks Michelle Boxman, a tax accountant, not a tax question, but whether she likes Elvis or Johnny Cash. And then this awesome fool from CNN asks the disgraced Newt Gingrich if he'd rather watch Dancing with the Stars or American Idol. And the American people put up with this. So that's why I'm telling you what's going on here. Back in 1998, I gave a speech at the Commonwealth Club entitled Beware the Government Media Complex. For the Republicans who have agreed to let CNN moderated debate indicates to you what? It indicates to you, if you put two and two together, that Obama will be reelected again in 2012 and the Republicans want to lose, that the whole thing is a fraud and a sham. That's why Obama keeps smiling. He's been told behind the scenes, hang in there. You're going to win again. The Republicans are running a false election. You can't win. I mean, you can't lose. So don't worry about it. To show you, Mr. Obama, how good it is for you, we're going to let CNN now run the debate when we know that they're Republican haters and America haters. What more do I need to say to you? Well, a lot more. A lot more. I'll give you another example of what Obama has done to America. This story came out moments ago. After 10 years, the Army is throwing away black berets in favor of baseball caps. Do you know why? Because of women in the military, such as a cook, Staff Sergeant Melinda De Rousseau, who works with the Third Army at Shaw Air Force Base, said working as a cook meant she had to keep her shoulder-length hair tied back in a bun, which could not fit under the tight beret. And as a result of women in the military, the Army, which had given out the black berets in order to give the men a sense of esprit de corps, are dropping the black beret. They're dropping it completely. In the past, also, other things are changing as well. In the past, badges had to be pinned on, a lengthy process that required the use of a ruler to keep everything lined up. They're dropping that because of the new Army, which includes idiots who could not get a job anywhere else. They don't have to pin them on anymore. Another switch will be a return to dressier uniforms for Army men and women inside the Pentagon, a step ordered to spiff up the Army's image inside the White House so that Obama feels better. So that's it. The black beret is being dropped as a result of women in the military. And many people cannot understand that Obama is out to destroy the esprit de corps, beginning with little things such as symbols such as this. Now, I could ask you what you thought of the debate last night, but to be frank with you, I tuned in for a few minutes and turned it off saying This is beyond belief. Not so much that what John King did, you'd expect that from CNN, but that the Republicans would permit themselves to be debased like this is a big giveaway. I had a call from a colleague in the media, one of very few who I talked to, one of the top people, who was calling up almost in agony and almost in tears, saying he's thinking of leaving America as a result of the low level of the debate, the low level of the questions, the low level of the audience, that they would permit this moron to ask them about Elvis or Johnny Cash, Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi. And then they take a man like Herman Cain and they ask him if he preferred deep dish or thin crust. Then they ask Romney if he would prefer spicy or mild wings, instead of what he will do to stop the hordes of illegal aliens, what he will do about the war on drugs, which is a failure. Listen to clip six to give you some idea of what this country has degenerated to.
Governor Romney, to you now. Imagine you're getting to the barbecue joint. Maybe it's here in New Hampshire, maybe it's South Carolina, ordering some wings. Spicy or mild?
Oh, spicy. Absolutely. And by the way, Bruins
shut
are
up. Shut up. Let me ask you something. Do you want to live in a country where the leading Republican contender does not get outraged by a question that is aimed at a psychopath in a mental hospital who can follow such things? Do you want to live in an America where Mitt Romney would not stand up and get righteously indignant and say, you know, John, he could have done it nicely if he had any savoir-faire. He could have done it like Reagan. He could have smiled at this putz, John King, and said, you know, Mr. King, I'm quite surprised that at a time when so many Americans are suffering, when we're involved in four wars that are illegal, at a time of such massive unemployment, you would have the audacity to ask me a question about spicy wings. Have you no shame, John King? But you see, that's why I'm not running for the presidency. That's why I'm a talk show host rather than a stooge politician who is up there to make sure that Obama is reelected again. If you want to comment on this, go ahead. You can call me at 1-800-449-8255. You can look at these stories on MichaelSavage.com. Patrick in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. What did you think of this so-called debate last night?
Michael, I have to tell you, I think it was a joke. I'm looking at it to think they're going to talk about the issues like our illegal war in Libya, and they're asking Newt Gingrich, who, by the way, is a disgrace, I agree with you, they're asking him whether he likes American Idol or Dances with the Stars. First of all, these aren't issues that I want to talk about, you know?
That's right.
Joke, so
but why?
Off.
But wouldn't you expect a man who would lead the free world like Mitt Romney to say that to John King of CNN?
Well, yeah, I would expect him to do that, but they played along with it.
See, leadership would mean you take control of a moronic moderator and you say, excuse me, when I'm not answering a question like that, ask me about the economy. Ask me about Obama's failure with the wars. Ask me about the hordes of illegal aliens. Ask me about anything, but don't ask me about chicken wings. Aren't you embarrassed, sir? In fact, I would ask you to leave the stage right now for wasting America's time. That's what I would have said.
Huevos, you know.
Yeah, all right. That's it. That's the country you live in. Are you proud to live in America? Matt in Florida, you proud to live in America with this level of non-debate?
Michael, I'll always be proud to be an American, but I was just sickened by what I saw last night. You know, I've been watching debates for about the past 10 years, as long as I've been able to vote. And I don't know. I think they're just trying to appease my generation that has such short attention spans and doesn't focus on the deep issues.
Well, all I can say is this is a bigger embarrassment for their so-called Republicans than it is for John King, who we'd expect to behave like this. Anyone who works at CNN is already questionable, whether it's Elliot Spitzer or John King. We all know that they hate America and they hate Republicans. So why would Republicans agree to go into a debate having them moderate, number one? But number two, when a man asks such idiotic questions, wouldn't you expect a leader to take control and smile at him and say, that's idiotic? I refuse to answer it. Why don't you ask me about violent jihadists in America? Why don't you ask me about the violent Muslims in America who are being recruited in prisons? Why don't you ask me about jihadism? I'll be happy to answer the questions about the economy, about wars. What in the world do you think this is about, John? Do you think that the people are idiotic? That's what a leader should have done. His ratings would have gone through the roof, okay? 1-800-449-8255. Many other questions, many other topics that we can talk about and will talk about. The phone number you know, the website you know, the fact that you're listening to Savage Radio. Let's hear that again, and I'll go to a break. The Savage, the PR. I want to hear SPR.
You're listening to NSR, National Savage Radio.
Savage.
So we've reached a new low in America with regard to a political system that permits Republican men and women, some of whom we should respect, others who have no right to any respect. In my opinion, people such as Newt Gingrich have audacity beyond belief to even have been there after his own staff walked out on him. But nevertheless, you have a moderator asking about chicken wings, Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi, which, you know, comedy reader you listen to, and the country is sinking and sinking fast. It's amazing to me. What else is in the news? You want me to talk about something else? There's a lot of here. Obama thinks it's hilarious when he found out that his $1 trillion stimulus did nothing to fix unemployment. In other words, his shovel-ready projects had no shovels and there was nothing ready for them. In other words, the money was sucked out by corrupt individuals in the Democrat Party. It's amazing. Nothing, not one question about Obama's failures, about his melting down the military, about Obama destroying NASA. Not one question about his college records and why he hides them. Not one question of any of the Republican candidates about what you would do to discover what Obama did in college and this and that. Nothing. Not one question about why you're sitting quietly while he's destroying the military, while he's in four different wars illegally. Astounding to me. You would have thought one of them would have stood up and said something. Okay? Somebody would have said something. New York, Bob, on WOR, what did you think about the mock debate last night?
Mike, it's a pleasure. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. Is if you noticed there last night, most of those so-called politicians are more or less puppets who are prompted there on the stage. They lack any sincerity. And most of all...
Well, not all of them. I would say Herman Cain, the former CEO and owner of Godfather Pizza, the black guy, I think he's real, don't you?
I think he's real. I think, out of all the ones that were up there, he has some sincerity. But unfortunately, what's lacking with them and probably 98% of the people in this country today is basic common sense. And when you see
but common sense, I don't know if it's common sense or self-respect. If I went to a debate at a time like this, a seminal time in American history like this, and a debater, the guy who's running it, asks me whether I prefer a deep dish or thin crust pizza, I would be outraged and I would say to him, you know, sir, you really have no right to even be here. I would ask you to leave the stage. I am not going to answer such a trivial question while millions of people are unemployed and billions of dollars are unaccounted for by the Democrat Party. How dare you ask such a question? Mr. King, I'm going to ask you to leave the stage and get somebody with a better reputation to ask these questions. Don't you think that would have been appropriate for somebody to say last night?
Mike, what the problem is?
Now, let me go a step further. If these ballless freaks up there don't have the guts to stand up to a stooge from CNN, how in the world are they going to stand up to our mortal enemies? How are they ever going to stand up at a conference and say to our mortal enemies, no, you can't have that aircraft carrier off our coast. Or no, you can't fire a rocket over our waters. Or no, you can't do this. They can't even stand up to CNN. How are they going to stand up to some despotic leader who wants to simply take us apart at the joints? The answer is, it's hopeless. We are no longer a nation of pride or of leadership. This is what it's come down to. Listen to clip six again. This is what was asked of Mr. Mitt Romney, the leader.
Governor Romney, to you now. Imagine you're getting to the barbecue joint. Maybe it's here in New Hampshire, maybe it's South Carolina, ordering some wings. Spicy or mild?
Oh, spicy.
I rest my case. Now there's the shill, Pawlenty, again, a man who wouldn't poll 1% of America. No one knows who he is, but he's up there for his own ego. Listen to clip seven.
Governor Pawlenty, to you, Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Coke it is. A good swift answer there.
Why are they laughing? Why is there a guffaw and a laugh from Governor Pawlenty instead of an outrageous response? Jim in Houston, you're on the Savage Nation. Different opinion. Go ahead, please.
Well, yeah, I have a little different take. I thought they did a pretty good job, at least, of not accepting the premise of some of the idiotic questions.
Excuse me? Did you watch the debate, or how could you make such a statement?
That's just my take.
All right, please have a nice day. Go out and have a diet. Go have a deep dish pizza, will you please? And while you're having a deep dish pizza, go take a swim in a mild wing, will you? Do me a favor. He thought it was a good debate. Sure, if you're a Democrat, it's a good debate because the Republicans look like country club schmucks who are too polite to stand up to a moron like John King. Now, I mean, you want me to go on about this or move on? Florida, Elliot, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I listen to you all the time, and I think you're probably one of the most brilliant radio broadcasters that ever was. And I guess you could call me perhaps even the president of your fan club, if there was such a thing. However, nobody is 100% right, and there's just one issue that I'd like to share with you that I believe differently than you do. That's regarding the fact that the debate was held on CNN. Now, I know that CNN is part of the left-wing media, and I despise them as much as you do for what they are. But right. On the other hand, there's the bright side of the coin. There are many people who listen to left-wing media who would never hear Republicans speak because the Republicans...
Okay. Given that everything you have just said I agree with, don't you think that a man of dignity and a man of respect running for the presidency had an obligation to stand up to the stooge on CNN? Given that everything you said is true, and say, excuse me, that question is not relevant at a time like this. How dare you insult us with that? How dare you insult the American people, John? You should be ashamed of yourself. He could have done that with a smile in a Reagan-like way, Elliot, couldn't he? Any one of them?
I agree with you. However, I think that the reason he asked these questions about Coke and about spicy wings or whatever it is just to bring a little bit of a light side of the person as a human being. I don't think the question was important. I agree that it was a ridiculous question.
Well, if the American people who think like that can vote, that's why we have a man like Obama in office. If it comes down to spicy wings, now you know how we got Obama.
Savage.
Why, at a time when corporate America is enjoying record profits, have you been unable to convince businesses to hire more people, Mr. President?
There are some structural issues with our economy, where a lot of businesses have learned to become much more efficient with a lot fewer workers. You see it when you go to a bank and you use an ATM. You don't go to a bank teller. Or you go to the airport and you're using a kiosk instead of checking in at the gate.
That Obama's a smart fella, you know that? He says a lot of businesses have learned to become much more efficient with a lot fewer workers. He's a smart fella, that Obama. He says that when you go to a bank and you use an ATM and not a teller, the bank is running itself more efficiently. He's a smart fella, that Obama. Unfortunately, he hasn't applied it to the U.S. government, where instead of shrinking the U.S. government, he expanded it. You see, he's a smart fella. That's a smart fella we have in the White House, don't you think? He tells you the reason the businesses aren't hiring, and he explains it rationally, is because it's cheaper to use a machine instead of a person. He's a smart fellow, that president of ours. Did you ever take a look at a postal truck driving up your street recently? How much pollution comes out of its tailpipe? The most polluting trucks in America are U.S. postal trucks. He's a smart fellow, that president. How come they don't deliver the mail by ATM instead of... I mean, I don't know anyone who uses the mail at all other than email. Or instant messaging, or a cell phone. Well, what do we need a postal department like this for? Shall I go down the list of how many other U.S. governmental agencies are something from the 18th and 19th centuries that we don't need anymore? He's a smart fellow, that president we have. He knows that businesses have learned that they're more efficient with fewer workers, but it hasn't applied to him. Yep, he's a smart fellow, that president of ours. Houston, Texas, Eric, welcome to the Savage Nation.
That's what companies have to downsize because they don't have any money to pay new employees. But anyway, I wanted to say, debate the schmate. It's a popularity contest because we're in a society of liberalized idiots who, if you told them there was four wars going on, they'd say, what, there's four wars going on? So that's
right. Oh, I agree with you. They don't even know which wars you're talking about. They would say, what, the Korean War or Vietnam?
it's the whole mob. Anthony Weiner, he's in the dumps because he stood up for Israel. Stood up against the big boss. Nobody's even talking about the politician in the.
No, that's what I said yesterday. It was the Democrats who released those revealing pictures. My theory is, I can't prove it, that because Weiner took on Boss Tweed, who is Obama, and Boss Tweed wants Israel to withdraw to the 67 borders, which will mean the end of Israel. It won't even survive. Anthony Weiner being a operative of AIPAC, no doubt about it. Basically put forward the AIPAC argument and said, no, you can't do that. And the roof fell in on Weiner the same way it would in a corporation if a lowly employee stood up to the CEO who wanted it to go one way and the employee wanted it to go another. So they knew where the dirt was on Weiner and they dropped it on him. Now, did they release it directly? No, that's not how they do it. Instead, they shopped it to a blogger who thought that he had a real score there. It's a theory. And the reason I have this theory is that we have been trying to get the so-called person who found these Weiner photos, Dan Wolf, to come on the show. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows if he exists. Nobody knows where he lives. Nobody knows what his email address is. So, in other words, it's a theory. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's not that bad. So if Dan Wolf is listening, we suggest that you show your face because otherwise we're going to assume you don't exist and that the Democrats themselves did this to Weiner simply because he stood up for Israel against Obama's desire to destroy Israel, in plain English. Okay? So we can talk about the debate all you want, you know, whatever. New York, Ken disagrees with me. Go ahead, please. You're on the air, Ken. Tell us why you loved it.
Yeah, actually, I thought John King did a fantastic job at the debate. Basically, one thing that I really liked was that he basically forced the candidates not to bloviate. And Republicans, let's face it, are known for their bloviating.
So they're bloviating? How come you speak with a rising inflection? Is that part of your non-bloviating technique?
Well, all I'm saying
Why do you drag out your statements? Is it to make people hang on your every word? Why is that?
Well, basically what I'm saying is King did...
Well, basically, you shouldn't use the word basically before making a statement. Didn't they teach you that in college?
Well, I didn't go to college.
I figured so. So what is it that you liked so much about the debate? Did you know... can you name one policy question that your favorite man, John King, asked?
The question that I like... I actually liked the this and that section because you get to know the candidates a little better. I mean,
so in other words, you'd rather he talked about Dancing with the Stars or American Idol rather than why Obama's in four wars.
But most Americans want a president who thinks like them. I mean, even outside of the policy thing.
I see. So they want an idiot in the White House. Well, I guess that's what they got. They want a vacuous... They wanted a vacuous fool in the White House. I guess that's what you're saying.
Well, I think Obama is...
I think so. You just said that's how we got Obama, because he reflects the American psyche, which is empty, correct?
Well, I think we made the right choice electing him, but I also...
Again, you're speaking with a rising inflection in order to entrap us into listening to you. Let me ask you something. Do you think that questions such as this would have been accepted in France?
Oh, I don't know how things work over there.
Oh, come on. You know so many things about so many things. You're a smart fella. You would know how things work in France. Isn't that a sophisticated country? And aren't you a sophisticated young man who knows about sophisticated things?
Well, I've lived in New York my whole life, so I feel pretty smart, yeah.
Ah, so you're smart because you live in New York. That's great. That's some distinguishing factor. You and 9 million other people are all smart, correct?
I think that there's at least 9 million smart people in the country, yes.
And they're all in New York, right? Because they live in New York. They're smarter than people west of the Hudson?
Well, most people live in cities where the jobs are, where there's engines. I think smarter people tend to vote Democrat and they live in the cities.
No, so I don't vote Democrat. Do you think I'm not smart?
I mean, I listen to your show, but I mean, I don't necessarily agree with you on everything, but...
Well, that's, I wouldn't expect you to agree with me on everything, but you wouldn't say that anyone who doesn't vote for Obama is not smart, would you? Wouldn't you think that that's not smart of you to say, since you can't categorize everyone who didn't vote for him as being not smart? Doesn't that make you rather shallow to make such a statement?
Well, most people who didn't vote for Obama live in, you know, like small towns and stuff.
And where did you get that information from? Did you do demographic analysis of who voted how?
Well, I mean, you live in San Francisco. Look how they vote.
Well, I didn't vote for him.
Right, but like you're
But you just said that most people who didn't vote for him live in small towns because they're kind of rubish and stupid, not smart like you, because you're a city slicker who lives in New York.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, if you live in the middle of nowhere, you don't really get an education. You don't really know.
So you're assuming everyone who lives in a city has an education and anyone who lives in a rural or suburban area is uneducated with blue teeth?
Well, I think pretty much like the most educated.
You think that people who don't live in Manhattan are all members of sort of like the movie Deliverance?
I mean, not everybody, but I think.
That was close. You mean there are some people who don't live in New York who might have a slight education?
I mean, I think most people in small towns don't really have the opportunity for an education.
But I thought you didn't go to college yourself. Is that true?
Well, yes. And I mean, I don't have a job.
Well, wait a minute. You said that all people who live in cities are more educated or better educated than people who don't live in cities, and yet you yourself are uneducated. So how does that compute?
But by education, I mean just in... You know, being informed on all the issues of our
day. Oh, so in other words, now you know what you're talking about. Through what source, though, are you informed? Do you through the internet?
Mainly through blogs and news like CNN, MSNBC.
I see. So you get all your information from CNN?
Well, most of it, yes.
I see. And you consider yourself an educated person?
I consider myself well-informed, absolutely.
I see. So let me ask you a question, Mr. Well-Informed. Is Obama's war in Libya legal?
I support this president and our...
I didn't ask you whether you support him. I asked you if it's legal, his war in Libya. Is it legal or illegal?
Well, I think Obama is a good man, and I don't think he would do anything...
I didn't ask you whether he's a good man or whether he has good digestion or good bowel movement. I asked you if his war in Libya is legal or not, and you say you're informed, but you can't answer it. So how informed can you be if you don't know the answer?
I think it's legal. I think he knows what
you think it's legal, but you see, legality is not about thinking. It's about something that's legal or not legal. Don't you understand that?
Well, the president's trying to defend the country. What's wrong?
Whoa. It doesn't matter what he's trying to do. Are you threatened by anyone from Libya?
I don't know. Not me personally, no.
Well, so who do you know who's threatened? Any of your other sophisticated friends in Manhattan threatened by a Libyan that I don't know about and being defended by Obama? Who in Libya are you threatened by?
I don't have that information.
Well, of course not. So you are what's known as a blind follower, a person who's uneducated, who simply gets his information from the propaganda network known as CNN. And as a result, you're a very dangerous individual because you have the right to vote. See, if you had no right to vote, you'd be of no matter to me. But unfortunately, in America, people like you who are uneducated don't know what's going on, don't know the difference between legal and illegal, vote strictly because you like the way a man looks. Don't you think that's deadly? Hello? I guess they told him to leave the podium. Whoever was controlling the puppet is no longer there. Once in a while, you have to try to use logic on these individuals. So when I asked the young man, if he really was a young man, if he wasn't the faker with a fake voice, is the war in Libya legal? The answer is no. And as a matter of fact, Friday is the deadline. And as a matter of fact, today, John Boehner has put our esteemed leader, Barack Hussein Obama, who I suppose likes spicy wings. I wouldn't know, but I'm guessing now whether he likes spicy or mild. I'd have to go with spicy because he grew up in Hawaii, where the food is spicier than it is in Brooklyn. He's telling him that there's 90 days you've been at war in Libya and you don't have the right. You didn't go for the congressional vote. And the young man doesn't even know there's a Congress. He only knows there's a man who's nice looking in the White House. I'll be right back. Savage.
I am deeply regretting what I have done, and I am not resigning. This was a big mistake I was embarrassed. I was humiliated.
Obviously, what he did was highly inappropriate. I think he's embarrassed himself. He's acknowledged that. He's embarrassed his wife and his family. Ultimately, there's going to be a decision for him and his constituents. I can tell you that if it was me, I would resign.
Well, I agree with President Obama on that. I told you, you know, even a stopped watch is right twice a day. He's right about this. He said that if he was Congressman Wiener, he would resign. So I agree with him. Wiener could collect pension if he resigns. I don't know if you know this, but the perverted congressman from Queens will still collect the pension, even if he resigns. That's the way it works. Now, if he was in private company and he sent a picture of his Schwanz around like this, that's German for private part, and then did things of that nature, he would have been fired, probably go to jail, by the way. There's probably some laws that he broke, but they're not pursuing it because he's a progressive, which means he stands for the downfall of America. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. If you care to comment on this, call somebody else. Michelle Obama is quoted as saying, Barack is working too hard. She said, I see the sadness and worry that's increasing his face. Boo-hoo-hoo. I guess they need a refurbished Air Force One. Maybe it's not big enough for them. Maybe they need two Air Force Ones. Maybe that would help him feel better. Or more golf. It's possibly needs more golf. A little more. I mean, he just came back from a vacation, and he's worked now a week or two. Perhaps he needs another vacation, and there'll be less sadness that would crease his face. And then when they've asked the president about one term, listen to what he says in clip 13 here on the Savage Nation. That's an interesting one.
In the nonstop intensity of being president of the United States, right. Have you ever thought to yourself that maybe one term was enough?
Well, I'm sure there are days where I say that one term is enough. What keeps me going is mm-hmm. a belief mm-hmm. that the work mm-hmm. that we started in mm-hmm. 2009 is not mm-hmm. yet complete.
Nope, it isn't. It takes a long time to break a nation. And if you really want to destroy a nation, it takes more than 4 years. And he's only started to break down the military. He's only started to destroy the middle class. He's only started to defund the military and put our troops in harm's way. He's only started to line the pockets of his hedge fund operatives on Wall Street. He's only half accomplished the destruction of the American media. He's only half destroyed the voice of the people through threats and intimidation. So he needs another 4 years in order to destroy the military, destroy the middle class, erase our border with Mexico, line the pockets of his Wall Street buddies, destroy what's ever left of the independent media, and, of course, crush the Tea Party. You've got to give him another 4 years if that's what you want. There's no question about it. He couldn't achieve it yet. All of this is covered in a book that I recommend called Trickle Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security. Why don't you read it and see if you disagree with me? Ha. Now, clip 14, please. We'll get a more broad picture of the president.
Did you ask Michelle and the kids about this?
Yeah,
at
you
the
know,
table?
Look, the Michelle and the kids are wonderful in that if I said, you know what, guys, I want to do something different, they'd be fine. They're not invested in daddy being president or my husband being president, but they do believe in what we're doing. And I think, you mm-hmm. know, Michelle. Mm-hmm. If she didn't think that what we were doing was worthwhile in moving the country forward, mm-hmm. I think she'd mm-hmm. be the first one to say, mm-hmm. why don't you go do something else that is a little less stressful.
Moving the country forward. Now, how are we moving forward? Can anyone explain how Obama has moved the country forward? Unemployment is greater. The bankruptcy is greater. We have another war rather than one less war. We have one more war. The military has been the military has been, let us say, undermined. NASA has been almost completely ruined. The U.S. housing crisis is now worse than the Great Depression. The pigs on Wall Street have never been fatter. So where is the progress? I'd like progressives to tell me where the progress is. I don't see it, frankly. 1-800-449-8255, Fort Lauderdale, Miles. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. Real quick, I just call in to update just on Congressman Wiener, just regarding his pension. As a member of Congress, he came in 99, currently has 12 years, and the congressional pension scale is 2.5% a year, so he's eligible for 30% immediately of his current salary, along with his health benefits, if he were to leave tomorrow.
That's right. He's entitled to a certain amount of money, but if he was fired, they could strip him of his pension.
Well, he'd have to be impeached. I mean, if he's
well, that's what I said. If they fired him, see, if he resigned, he gets his pension, which would be about $37,000 a year once he hits the retirement age, not counting other odds and end benefits such as a full health care program. And these benefits are afforded to every member of Congress, no matter how degenerate or corrupt.
Thank you.
No, so I guess you're agreeing that that's good. I don't know. I don't know whether the man... Under federal rules, once Wiener reaches 56, he could pull in a portion of that annuity if he wore, if he waited until he reaches 62, blah, blah, blah. The package would be worth full $37,000 a year with cost of living adjustments kicking in after that. So he will not step down, and he's waiting to discuss the matter with his wife. Does anyone listening to this show, no matter how idiotic you may be, let's assume you live in Manhattan and you haven't gone to college and you get all your information from CNN, let's put you in that basket of fools. Anyone in that basket of idiots who listened to CNN exclusively and did not go to college and voted for Obama and think he's actually a progressive, do you actually believe that he's waiting to meet with his wife when she comes back from Africa? And if so, how come they haven't communicated yet by email or by telephone? I mean, after Alexander Graham Bell, there was an object called a telephone. Usually when your husband's found with his yanger hanging out and sends it to women or whatever, the wife picks up a phone and says, get your stuff out of the apartment, it's over. But we're to believe that his wife, Huma Abedin, a close confidant of Hillary Clinton, is in Africa and she's an incommunicado? Do you believe this? I mean, assuming that if you live in Manhattan and you watch CNN, even you must understand that this is a lie. All right, whatever. 1-800-449-8255. Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi? Dancing with the Stars or American Idol? Deep dish or thin crust?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Plenty to you. Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Coke it is. A good swift answer there. Governor Romney, to you now. Imagine you're getting to the barbecue joint. Maybe it's here in New Hampshire. Maybe it's South Carolina. Ordering some wings. Spicy or mild?
Oh, spicy.
Mr. Kane, deep dish or thin crust?
Deep dish.
Congressman Paul, BlackBerry or iPhone?
BlackBerry.
BlackBerry it is.
You're listening to NSR, National Savage Radio.
Well, America, welcome to a new low in American politics where so-called Republicans have a so-called debate run by a so-called debate chief. Look, people have called me and said, how could this be going on right now? I said, because it's all a sham. It's all a sham. There were hardly any substantive questions during the so-called Republican debate on purpose. And so why beat it up? If we have so-called Republicans such as Romney, Kaine, Ron Paul, Gingrich, Bachman, and Sanitarium answering questions like that, then they're not really, I would say, capable of leading America. Not really. They're just not leaders, period. They've already shown that they lack leadership. Because I'll tell you something, I'm never going to run for office, but just as a human being who's been around a certain amount of time, if I were up there and this schmuck, John King of CNN, asked me whether I prefer deep dish or thin crust or mild or spicy or Coke or Pepsi or Johnny Cash or Elvis, I would look at him and say, you know, Mr. King, You have just shown that you don't have the intelligence to ask us any questions, and I would ask you to leave and put an adult in your place. And then I'll tell you something. Then you'd see fireworks start. And at the beginning of the fireworks, that's when you'd see a real debate. Otherwise, yeah, you know what I'm kidding. You look, the Republicans have thrown in the towel already. They don't want to win. I told you how the system works, but you don't want to believe me. You don't want to listen to me. You want to take your information from news media sources or bloggers or whatever, you can do that. I'm only giving you one man's opinion. I'm telling you it's a fix. And the fix is in. It's 8 years Dems, 8 years Repubs, 8 years Dems, 8 years Repubs. So do your math. We had Clinton for 8 years. Then we had bumbling Bush for 8 years. Now we have deceptive Obama for four. We'll have him for another four. Because the system insists upon 8 years. It's too much for them to shift. They can't change gears in 4 years. Once they get the flow of money going into the right hands, it's very difficult to change it after 4 years. It takes a lot, 2 years to get the money flowing into the right pockets. So what, you think after two more years they want to shift so that the other gang gets the money? Don't be stupid. Now it's time for the Democrat gang to start cashing in. And since your mind is on things such as spicy or mild, deep dish or thin crust, a blackberry or an appleberry, Dancing with the Stars or Dancing with the Perverts, Johnny Cash or whatever, Coke or Pepsi, that's why you have Obama for president. That's why we don't have a leader. And so, therefore, we'll go on to the next question. So, we have a war in Libya, and most people don't even know that we have a war in Libya by the man who said he would end the wars as we know it. Obama ran, don't remember now, as a so-called progressive, and he said he would end these illegal wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now, instead of ending them, he's actually increased the number of troops. Remember when he did that? He increased the number of troops to Afghanistan by 35,000, and then he launched a war against Gaddafi. No one knows why. The most ardent, if you stop the most ardent so-called progressive, and they're easily identified. A progressive is very easy to identify in the streets of any city or town in America. You could spot a progressive. It's very easy to see them. They don't even have to wear a funny hat or a badge to say, I am a progressive. There are certain costume attributes, things of that nature, where you could easily see they're a progressive by certain attributes of their costume or decorum or lack thereof. And if you were to stop them and say, have you met a Libyan who threatens you? Even they would have to say no. Then you say to them, well, why are we at war? Why do you support Obama's war in Libya? The only fallback is because he's handsome and has a deep voice. And then you'll know why they're a progressive. And, of course, the headline on Drudge has been up for an hour now. Berner gives, I call him Pink Shirt, gives Obama an ultimatum on Libya. Yeah, really. Yeah, yeah, an ultimatum. Get another pack of Chesterfield and I'll believe it. He says he's going to force, in 5 days, the administration will be in violation of the War Powers Resolution on Libya. All right, now what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Deep dish or thin crust? Spicy or mild wings? You're going to ask the president nicely for on your golf course with him whether he prefers Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi, Elvis or Johnny Cash. You know nothing's going to happen. It's all... All right, New York Barber, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Sir, I'm calling with regard to the Wiener thing. Different perspective here. If you put Hillary Clinton, Spitzer's wife, the late Elizabeth Edwards family, Maria Shriver, Dana McGreevy, Sanford's wife, Gingrich's wife, and everyone else, all in a room and ask them which they would have preferred, their husband sending pornographic photos out on the internet, or in comparison what their husbands did, Spitzer with prostitutes, Edwards with a little trollop that he impregnated.
So you would prefer a man to send, your husband to send a picture of his penis to women rather than be with a woman?
If you think, what I'm trying to say here is...
Well, no, I'm asking you, you're giving yourself a Hobson's choice. Do you happen to be married?
Excuse me? No, sir. But if your wife...
Well, we understand why, because you assume that a woman would rather have a pervert for a husband rather than an adulterer.
If your wife were going to step
no,
out...
No, I just asked you a question. You just said you'd rather have a pervert for a husband rather than an adulterer. And I would say I don't think I don't think most women would agree. As despicable as adultery may be, at least it's somewhat human. Taking a picture of your own schmeckle and sending it out to women is actually mentally ill. Mental illness.
Wait. What percentage of men do you think that are...
Being with another woman does not mean that you're mentally ill. It means you have moral problems. Taking a picture of your schmeckle and sending it out to women means you're sick.
look, it's, I'm not saying you're the, you know, the epitome of whatever. But what I'm saying here...
Wait, I'm the epitome of whatever? What did you just say? What do you mean I'm the epitome of whatever?
Righteousness or you know...
I didn't send a picture of my schmeckle out to anybody. Your congressman did. You're defending the indefensible. You're defending a pervert.
No, I'm not defending him. I'm not... You're missing my point. What I'm saying, in comparison, let's just say you're married, you have two children. If your wife... First of all, most men definitely cheat on their wives. I know of nobody that's faithful to nowadays.
So but you're not married. But you're not married. That's why, because you're cynical.
Precisely why I'm not married is because you can't trust anybody there. But we're not discussing me. We're discussing him. Let's get back to the point. The point of the matter is, okay, if your wife were going to step out on
no, you. No. You just said we're not discussing you, but now you want to discuss me. Wait. And I refuse to drag my family into this discussion because it's irrelevant. What's relevant is we have a man who destroyed himself in front of the world. He's unfit to serve because he's mentally unstable. I think that's the whole question.
Okay. And Bill Clinton, what Bill Clinton...
Oh, hold it. But we're not... Bill Clinton's not in Congress anymore. Bill Clinton is not in Congress. Yes, having sex with Monica Lewinsky, as disgusting as it was, is over. He's not there in the White House. Let me ask you a question. Maybe we can come to some terms we can agree. Do you think that sending a picture, a man sending a picture of a schmeckle around to women is normal?
No, do I think it's normal? No. Do I agree with it? No. Do I think most men do it? Absolutely. 100%.
Most men that you meet in the streets, you think photograph their schmeckle and send the picture around to others?
I think 99% of the men that I see walking around the street.
Oh, well, that's because you live in Queens, right?
Bergen County.
Oh, so most of the men, you just made a statement that most of the men, 99%, if I remember correctly, you stated that 99% of the men in Bergen County take pictures of their schmeckle and send it around on the internet.
Wait, you didn't let me put words in my mouth.
Well, I know, that's what you just said. You said 99% of the men you see in Bergen County photograph their private parts and send it around on the internet.
I was trying to say to you, cut me off. Hold on, Mike, come on. What I was trying to say is that 99% of the people that you see, the men that you see today, are doing porno, are going to, you know, they're all doing it, Mike. I mean,
okay, hold on now. I wouldn't say it's 99%. I would say it's probably 5 to 10%. Let's start with my guess. However, there is a distinct difference between a congressman and the man in the street, Barbara. And the difference is he is a representative who is supposed to represent something slightly better than the gutter, don't you think?
I totally agree with you, but that's...
So don't you think that we deserve something of leadership from Anthony Weiner, which we're not, the people are not getting?
I totally agree with you, but...
That's all I'm saying. I don't know why you're defending him, though. What's defensible about the man?
Out of all the women whose husbands cheat on them. Okay? Out of all the different ways that you could cheat...
So you would recommend that if a woman thinks that her husband is cheating on them, they should say, honey, I have a suggestion. Take a picture of your schmeckle and send it around instead?
No, but what I'm trying to say here is it's a different perspective. This guy, pardon the
you know, point. You're probably a nice woman. I remember that women like you are very rare, number one. You're from another generation, I can tell, and you're probably very nice. And you've been hurt by men, and that's understandable. Men are dogs, by and large. But let me ask you something. Did you see the pictures that he took of himself that were released over the weekend?
Unfortunately, I didn't. In the beginning, they really were not that. I didn't find them.
Barbara, the last few pictures he took showed a mentally deranged man who was approximately 3 to 6 years old. He stood in the congressional locker room with a towel wrapped around his naked body, around his midsection. I'll keep it clean. It's a family show. His left hand was holding his private part over the towel. And his right hand, you could see the BlackBerry, and he's looking in a mirror taking a picture of himself. Now, is that the mark of a sane man?
Well, I think that's a hell of a lot more sane than Bill Clinton with his little cigars. I mean, I think that's just like the epitome of sickness.
So, yeah, but what do they both have in common, Bill Clinton and Anthony Weiner?
Bill Clinton is definitely sex addiction. I mean, there's no comparison.
No, but what do they both have in common? Bill Clinton and Anthony Weiner have something in common, several things in common. What are they?
It's power that corrupts them.
No. They're both what? Well, members of which party?
Well, I
they're both Democrats and they're both progressives, correct?
Yes.
And don't you think that most progressive Democrats think they're a little better, if not a lot better than everybody else in your experience?
Absolutely, 100%. I believe that. I believe that.
No, all right, let's be clear. You've gone out with some men over the last few years. And don't guys who are very liberal think that they're smarter than everybody?
Wait, yes, I agree. The $64,000 question that no one asked Wiener, no one has yet to ask Wiener, is why did you do it? Didn't you think you were going to get caught? And why did you do it? In other words, what made you think that you were?
You see, now you're actually a good psychologist. You're asking the most important question there is. The answer is he has no answer. He's mentally ill. You can't ask a logical question of a mentally sick person. They can't compute that question.
I wouldn't go as far.
And therefore, since he is mentally deranged, he does not belong in Congress. And I agree with President Obama that he should step down. If we had a rational Congress, they would fire him immediately. They'd hold a quick hearing and get rid of the man. He's an embarrassment.
Mike, do you honestly think he's the only one doing this? Do you think this is?
Yes, I honestly think. I didn't say he's the only one who's, let's say, wandering from a wife or looking at internet porn. No, I didn't say that. I would say Anthony Weiner is the only one in Congress who would take a picture of his own schmeckle and send it around to women.
Oh, I think they're probably all doing it. They're just a little smarter. You know what I mean?
No, you mean all 400 members of Congress are taking pictures of their schmeckle? Now you're saying that?
What McGreevy was doing. Look what, I mean, there's not...
Whoa. You're jumping now. You actually believe that John Boehner is taking a picture of himself naked and sending it to women? Barbara.
I'm thinking. No, probably not. I mean, not.
All right, so at least one out of the 400 is not doing it. So that means that somebody else may not be doing it.
What do you think about Barney Frank? You don't think Barney Frank is doing? He's a little cracked.
Well, Barney Frank is in a class by himself, which means he has no class whatsoever. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, we had a sham debate last night where people were asked whether they prefer deep dish or thin crust pizza by the disgraced John King, who really never had any standing in the media. But the Republicans actually came out worse for it because they didn't stand up to him, and they actually went into the gutter with him. Democrats wrestle with how to end Wiener scandal, call on him to resign. This is the latest news now, last updated minutes ago. A defiant Anthony Weiner continues to resist calls from colleagues to resign. Now, I told you he's mentally disturbed to have sent these pictures of himself around. It looks like he's in the primary stage of sexuality, the genital stage described by Freud, which we talked about several times on the show. It's something a three-year-old boy does when he discovers he has one. He holds it a lot and says to his mommy, "Mommy, look what I have." Anthony Weiner is a very sick man. He's about 3 years old emotionally. He is now standing up to the party leaders, which shows that he's deranged on top of it all. These are the most powerful people in the world, trying to be as clear as they can that the man has to go, and he won't go. He won't go. Even Nancy Pelosi, as debased as she is in terms of what she has said, I mean, do I have to say San Francisco values and not get a laugh in the audience here? Even she has had enough of him. Virginia, Jake, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that the whole sexting thing is really a lot more common than you may believe. I mean, I personally have done it. I know a lot of my other male friends have done it. And I
okay,
know
so how old are you? You're 25 or 4, 3, 2, 1?
Yeah, I'm 23 years old.
All right, well, my generation, I don't know anyone who does it. I never did it. I don't know anyone who does it. So this is something that's very modern now, is to take a picture of your private part and send it around. So he's ahead of the curve, Anthony Weiner. That's why the Democrats are not mad at him. He's drawing in a younger demographic.
Well, I don't see that as a respectable thing that a grown man would do, and especially somebody, a member of Congress.
Okay, but what you yourself do it, though, aren't you embarrassed?
Well, not.
All right, well, all right, don't be embarrassed. No, keep doing it. That's great. Nipple rings, nose rings, green hair, yellow hair, blue hair, pink hair, all aboard. Welcome to the new America.
Savage.
Senator Santorum, I want to start with you.
Thank you.
Of course. Leno or Conan?
I'm neither. Probably Leno, but I don't watch either. Sorry.
Elvis or Johnny Cash?
Oh, that's really tough. That's really both. Both. Yeah.
Both.
I've got Christmas with Elvis on my iPod.
Mr. Speaker, Dancing with the Stars or American Idol?
American Idol.
This is what America has fallen to, that a schmuck on CNN gets to run a debate for so-called Republicans who actually answer inane questions of this nature. Next week on Wednesday, the brave Congressman Peter King will hold another hearing on the radicalization of Muslims in U.S. prisons, something that most Americans with brains would approve of. There is a group of anti-Americans who are trying to stop it. They call themselves interfaith, voices of reason, civil rights, blah, blah, blah. I have their names and their list of their names. He's doing what I think is rational. It's going to focus on the activities of Muslims in U.S. prisons and their radicalization. And yet we have a group that are trying to block it. And they're coming from the Islamic Center of Long Island and Westbury. Behind this, the head of this troublemaking group is the New York Civil Liberties Union. As you well know, a well-known anti-American, anti-family, anti-church organization that has stood for the downfall of America from the time it was formed. Who else is involved in trying to stop Peter King from holding these useful hearings? Well, I have the list for you. We got it, and we're putting it up on michaelsavage.com. The groups are called, and they're crazy. I never heard of groups like this. Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Those are the atheists who, again, as you well know, are another front group for the downfall of America. Imam Isa Abdul Karim Taha Masjid Inc., whatever that means, at the Nassau County Correctional Center. Now, why would an imam in a prison not want such a hearing? Answer. You could figure the answer out, can't you? Phyllis Rice, Vice Chair, Nassau County Human Rights Commission. When you hear the word human rights, you know what it's a front group for. Sister Jean Clark, Pax Christi, Long Island. Empire Justice Center, Hillside Islamic Center, Islamic Center of Long Island, Jaim Majdeed Belmore, Jobs with Justice, Long Island Alliance for Peaceful Alternatives, Long Island Civic Participation Project, Long Island Council of Churches, Long Island Muslim Association, Long Island Teachers for Human Rights, Masjid Darul Quran, Muslim Law Association at Hofstra, Muslim Peace Coalition, Muslims on Long Island, New York Civil Liberties Union, Nassau Chapter, Suffolk Chapter, Social Justice Committee of UUCSR, Strong You Think, the Workplace Project. These are the anti-American groups that are trying to smear Congressman Peter King, who is trying to make certain that another bomb doesn't go off somewhere in a shopping center in America by focusing on the activities of Muslims in U.S. prisons. Anyone have a problem with Peter King? Tell me why. New York, WOR Joe, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, I was going to comment, I guess I will comment on the Anthony Weiner situation, but I was going to also say something about what you just spoke about, Peter King, but I'll confine myself to the Weiner situation. You know, what you're talking, you said that during the course of the conversation, you said you agreed with the woman or something, or you said that all men are dogs. I think it's a very dangerous statement, and I want to... I'm not a defender of Anthony Weiner, okay? Politically, I'm his polar opposite. But I'm coming to his defense as a man. Now, it's a very complex situation because on the one hand, I would condemn men as... I would say we have a very serious societal problem with this machismo. It seems to be taking over. It reared its head decades ago, but it seems to be getting worse.
And what do you mean? You think Anthony Weiner represents machismo?
Definitely trying to be a macho man, but the reason is, and I, you know, when I said that, I remember...
Macho man? I think he comes across as an infantile fool.
He's trying to build himself up physically, and he's trying to impress women, because, you see, here's the paradox, Mike, and the conundrum...
No, well, that is true. He goes to the gym. That's number one, a giveaway for a weakling. Anyone who goes to a gym on a regular basis is very insecure. They look at themselves in the mirror, the lats, the abs. I mean, it's okay to stay in shape, but when you're obsessed with your body, it's because you're grossly insecure. And we have a massive insecurity country. The men are grossly insecure in this country. The gym with the workout, this and that. It's okay to stay healthy. Everyone wants to be in good shape. But this obsession with looking at yourself is not healthy. I agree with you.
What I'm saying is that the reason he's doing it, in my opinion, the reason most men act very stupid and macho is because that's what women want and demand. Now, they'll go on your show, and they'll go on Oprah, and they'll have all the PR saying, oh, we like sensitive guys who cry. But the reality is that they love stupid macho men with confidence. These are the things that turn them on.
Well, I don't know what you're saying, but Anthony Weiner is the opposite of a macho man. He's a wimpish fool.
Huh?
He's a wimpish fool.
Mike, the other side of the coin is that Anthony is trying to accomplish what all women can do, and it's called sexual power. In other words, I'll give you an example.
So in the bottom line, it's too complicated. Do you think it's the mark of a healthy, mature male to take a picture of his schlenkel and send it around to the nation?
Unfortunately, this is what seems to succeed with women these days.
It does?
Point.
I don't know. I didn't have to do that when I was young and not married. I didn't take pictures of myself and send it around. I went up to women and talked to them. I mean, we had conversations. That no longer happens?
Well, maybe things have changed, but let me just say one thing. I looked in the...
You mean women don't care about a man's mind or about his eyes or about his sense of humor or his wit or his knowledge? All they want to do is see a picture of him in a gym?
His height, his muscles, his wallet, things like that. They're not looking for a sensitive, gentle, nice guy. Those guys are considered losers by women, okay?
And I don't know. Jeez, thank God I'm not young and single now. I wouldn't know. I don't even know how to work at a BlackBerry.
Strange thing is, you see, women...
Thanks. See, I'd have to learn how to work a BlackBerry. I'd have to be get knowledgeable about how to use the camera. It's very hard to take a picture of yourself, I would imagine. Kansas City, Roy, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I have to agree with that last caller. He pretty much stole my thunder. On this.
How so? Tell me what you mean.
Well, in my generation, I'm 35 years old, and
yeah,
my generation, sexting, it's called. That's what we do.
All right, okay. I'm going to sit and listen to this. But again, even if that is true, and let's say everyone does it, or most young people do it, even though I don't believe most do, but let's say they do, a congressman shouldn't be doing it, especially in the congressional gym. It's the mark of an immature person, but he's supposed to be a little different than you, isn't he? Isn't a congressman supposed to be at a different level?
Most definitely.
Well, let me put it another way. Do you actually respect Weiner for doing this?
No, I don't.
Okay, so in other words, if you do it, it's okay, but a congressman is not okay. You're telling me that when you meet a woman in a bar, the first thing you do is send pictures of yourself naked?
No.
So what do you mean by sexting, then? What is sexting? I don't even know what it is.
Say again, I didn't catch that.
What is sexting? I don't even know what that is then. What is it?
It's texting sexual messages and taking pictures of yourself in a sexual way.
Okay, but who do you send it to? Anyone in the street? How do they know? How do you get their email? How do you get their address to send it to them? Don't you have to first meet them to do that, or you can just send it around?
Well, you have to first meet them. You know, it's girls in the bar.
Okay, so no, I'm trying to follow how it's done. So you go to a bar, you meet someone, so you do have to converse first, right?
Yes.
Okay, so assuming you get past the first stage of grunting to each other, you then exchange email addresses and send pictures of your private parts immediately, or you wait till you go home?
If there's some sexual chemistry and, you know, you go home at night and you're texting back and forth, and one thing leads to another, and...
Well, whatever happened to picking somebody up even the first night of going home with them? You mean you have to wait for the sex thing to be accepted? The Western Union has to arrive before you agree to... Don't people just go home with each other anymore? I mean, that was done in the 70s and 60s, wasn't it?
Yes, and it's still done today. But
well, how do they do it without sending pictures of each other? Don't they have to see each other in order to be up to today's mores?
Most definitely. Both happen.
Let's say you go to a bar and you like someone. Do you walk up to her, or do you pick up your BlackBerry and hold it up in the air first to show your BlackBerry or whatever, your iPod?
They usually come up to me.
Let's say they come up to you. Do they hold up an iPod for you to approve of the machine The device, or is it the human being that you're looking at, or the device?
No, that's actually never happened, but I'm sure that's actually probably on the way, is flashing of the phone.
I don't know. Look, this is all becoming comedic in the political arena, which I suppose is okay, given that John King didn't rise to a higher level. Asking about the difference between deep dish and a thin crust pizza and Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi of the so-called Republicans. So we can have this discussion. But I'm trying to understand what the appeal is of dirty pictures of each other. It's, in other words, you send self porn. Is that it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You send self porn and there's no shame in it. No one has shame? They're not ashamed of self-porning each other?
It appears not. We don't have any shame about it.
Well, let's go to the other extreme. I assume by what you're saying is you're a good-looking guy who's well-built and all of that. What if the guy is, like, not that well-built and a schmegecky-looking guy, but he's very smart and very funny, like a Woody Allen? How does he stand a chance in this age if he was a young guy? What does he do? He can't send a picture of himself naked. So what does he send? His poetry?
That's a good
one. what does he send? The latest essay? He got rejected from the Atlantic Monthly? What does he send to the woman in the bar?
That's a good question.
So in other words, so this is a way of winnowing out the weak from society. This could actually have a beneficial effect. Only the strong and the well-built shall survive, correct?
Darwin of the text messages, I guess.
It is. It's Darwinism. So wimpy intellectual guys will never reproduce as a result because they look so horrible when they send a picture of themselves. The women would immediately delete it. Is that right?
It would seem so.
So in other words, the brains won't be passed on from generation. All you're going to get is brawn. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe we need some brawn to survive in America. All right, live and learn. I'll be back.
Savage.
It is fun to be having a little fun here on the Savage Nation. I don't know how many people engage in this kind of thing called sexting. Heard about it, you know, but I can't believe that every woman, even young women, just want to look at a man's body, and that's the whole deal. I didn't say that the body isn't what she's after. After all, if she's going to a bar, she's probably a slut. That's what she's doing there, and the guy there is a male slut, and that's what they're doing there. I mean, they have no self-control, and all they want to do is rut like mice. They want to rut like mink, and there's nothing you can do about it because we live in a debased society with no morality. We have a guy like Anthony Weiner being defended by 25% of his constituents who share his lack of values and don't even understand that there is a certain decorum that's required of a congressman. Certainly you'd expect it. But then on the other hand, many of you are defending him. Chicago, Brett, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Dr. Savage? People in political office and like sexual scandals are nothing new. I remember reading about Benjamin Franklin. They actually had these letters of him writing to a French countess when he was overseas, trying to procure funds for the revolution, and him going into kind of graphic detail of how, he yearns for her and that his little man downstairs would love to eat more to grow fat for her.
Please. No, I know Ben Franklin was a major league div. I mean, he had a big thing going. And I have an article on why he was a babe magnet. Even when he was old and rotund, Ben had sex appeal. He knew the way to a woman's heart was through her head. More than two centuries after his death, people are still trying to figure out how a paunchy, balding, bifocal septuagenarian managed to get French ladies in a flutter. And that's Benjamin Franklin, but he was using his brains. And they say that most of it was flirtatious. Franklin was a master of what the French call amitié amoureuse, whose English translation, amorous friendship, gives only a hint of its true meaning. It's a form of intimacy without sexuality. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, absolutely, sir. Like, because the end of, you know, she never gave in to his whims. She kept it as.
Yes, but he had a dirty mind, and he liked to use it. Now, he had a wife for 44 years, but for 18 to 44 years, they lived apart.
Absolutely, yes. And I think the differences between them is then you can show the intelligence where he can put it into such words that it's graphic but not graphic. Whereas today, I think the egos of these politicians, they think just on the base of their power and the fact that they think they're above the law, that they can just do this and think.
But I think you're arguing that if Ben Franklin were alive today, he would text a picture of a Schmeckel to a woman in France, right?
I don't think he'd... I don't think he's at that level, but I think that's why I think the caliber of the politician that we have today is what you've been saying, Dr. Savage, is no one...
I tell you the truth. One thing you have to thank Anthony Weiner for is he's causing a national debate about the limits of narcissism and how far it should go and whether it's acceptable in a politician, or should the line be drawn at an 11- or 12-year-old who does a thing like this, or a 13-year-old. All right, look, I'm not going to tell you what to think. And I don't have an opinion on the matter other than he's not fit for office, in plain English. And the reason is, I'll give you another reason, because if he didn't think he'd get caught, it shows you how foolish he is. Let's just put it down on a pragmatic level. Here's a man who sits on committees to do with appropriations, military, defense, whether Muslims pose a threat in America in prisons or outside prisons, whether we should have greater border security with Mexico or not. If a man does not have the self-defense mechanism necessary to protect himself from what happened to him, how can he protect America from our most violent enemies? The answer is he cannot, which means he has abrogated the trust of the American people, to be very clear. He has shown himself incapable of defending America, upholding the Constitution, and therefore they should throw the bum out and strip him of his pension. I mean, look, let's cut to the chase here. It's all about our national survival. Let's put the party aside. Of course, I'm glad that he's a liberal progressive because it shows them for what they largely are. Not all of them, but a large percent of them engage in this kind of behavior, only they haven't been caught. Does it happen with Republicans? You betcha. Does it happen as often with Republicans? No, because they're a little more circumspect and they're a little more, religious in that regard. However, Anthony Weiner has to go. And if you don't agree with me, then you don't agree with Nancy Pelosi, and you don't agree with Barack Obama, which I would find very, very difficult to believe. Indianapolis, Michelle, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I couldn't agree more with that. I just think it's weird, the whole sex thing. I would not want a picture of that sent to me. Even if you end up in the bedroom, I want, candlelight.
Yeah, but what age are you, though, Michelle?
I'm old. I'm 45. But
there's a cutoff point, and I think it's 44, Anthony Weiner's age. I think it's 44 and younger send pictures of their private parts to each other. So you're a year older. You know, that's why you wouldn't do it. Chicago, Jeremy, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, hi. Nice to meet you. Well, talk to you, I should say.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the Anthony Weiner thing. You know, I'm 22 years old. I have a fiance, soon to get married, a child, and honestly, I don't fit in too well with my friends anymore for the simple fact that I don't get into that lifestyle. And honestly, it is so common everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere around us. All the callers that have called and said.
But Jeremy, explain for the audience of older people who don't understand it. You're saying people meet each other and immediately they send each other naked pictures of themselves. In other words, they expose themselves immediately.
I wouldn't say immediately, but it's far too quickly. I mean, it's not the way I was.
Do women do it as readily as men?
Yeah, if not more readily.
More readily. So it just shows you how debased the youth is in America, how they have been completely destroyed by society. That they have no idea over the moral rot that they're exhibiting.
Exactly.
Well, it's not just the political structure that's failed us. I mean, you can blame a lot of different elements and a lot of blame to go around. You could say the church failed them, the synagogues failed them, parents failed them, teachers failed them, doctors. But what are you going to do? You're not going to change the course of human events. You're not going to change the course of human history. You're not going to change cultural mores as they change. There's no way to do it. You have a choice, though, whether you want to engage in it or do you have shame. Think of the famous picture of Adam and Eve being cast out of the Garden of Eden, as they cover their private parts in shame. Think about shame. Once America regains some shame, we might regain the country. At least, that's one man's opinion.
Savage.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Left, U.S. troops in Afghanistan could stay for decades. You heard me. On the top right, the mock Republican debate was it was horrible last night. What Republican would agree to have CNN moderate it, other than a checked pants Republican? For faithful, San Fran ban on circumcision is a cut too deep. Also on MichaelSavage.com, Michelle says Barack Obama is working too hard. She says, I see the sadness and worry that's creasing his face. Boo-hoo, hootie-hoo-hoo. King's sexual proclivities confound even Swedes. We're not talking about John King. We're talking about the King of Sweden. 2002 Bali bombing suspect arrested. Gee, that was quick. Murder conviction tossed out over racist comments. Missing Iraq money may have been stolen. It's only $6.6 billion that they don't know where it is. Where are Obama's green jobs? Answer, nowhere. They never existed. Court rejects sex bias claim on citizenship rule. That's on MichaelSavage.com. Also, trickle-up poverty. See the article, Obama's assault on free speech. Well, let's see what's on the bottom of my page. There's some great stuff here. The Obama man says a congresswoman, whatever, Debbie something or other from Florida, the new DNC chair, has a cute smile. I wonder what Michelle has to say about that. Montana manhunt targets real-life Rambo. Former militia leader is on the run. Looks like another Randy Weaver. All this and more on MichaelSavage.com. Now, I believe Freud's theories about sex are as relevant as ever. And so, although some of them have undergone revision, many current psychologists think that the founder of psychoanalysis was completely wrong about everything. He had everything backwards, and they've tried to undo what he did. It's part of the deconstruction of Western civilization, by the way. By bringing down Freud's theories, so they think they can bring down and collapse all of Western civilization and completely turn civilization on its head. There are certain things you can't change, and you cannot take a giant and turn him into a Lilliputian, particularly if you yourself are a Lilliputian and not a giant. The fact of the matter is, sexuality has a central place in our psyche. So you say, well, okay, I don't want a college lecture today on the Savage Nation. I've heard all this. Or I haven't, I'm not interested. Talk instead about Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum. I don't want to do it. I mean, I am so bored of politics right now. You know, what'll be will be. Whoever runs will run. When the election comes around, I'll talk about it, right? I'm not going to talk about these, you know, who's going to run now. I mean, I'm not on Fox News where that's my bread and butter. I think that I would rather talk about something positive, which is, if you're driven by sexual thoughts or urges, how have you sublimated them into something positive? I think that's what's important to think about. Not whether you're sick, okay, but how have you channeled your hypersexuality, so to speak, into something positive? Okay, that's an important discussion, because I would argue that all of civilization is built upon sexual energy, if you want to take it from a strictly. I am probably strictly, from a psychological point of view, a Freudian in that regard, even though I'm not a therapist at all. I never pretended to be, nor do I want to be. But if you were to ask me what school of psychology, Savage, do you follow, it would be Freudianism. Because he was a giant. He was the founder of psychoanalysis. But even he had his limitations, and he acknowledged it. Even he once said, if I remember correctly, that not everything was about sex. And he once commented, you know, he said, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Okay, so let's not get carried away. You know what I'm saying? He understood that there was a limitation even to his theories. Now, I know many of you don't agree with Freudianism, but that's really not what the show is about right now. It's how do you use the energy, your sexual energy. New York City, WOR, Nando, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, you know, I'm a psychologist in New York City, and I agree with you that Freud was a giant in a lot of ways, but he did get some things backwards. For example, he assumed that the disturbance was sex-based. But a lot of people get disturbed first and foremost about other things like ego, their status, their anger, their rage, and then they employ all kinds of methods to...
Well, let me see. I'm not here to dispute better. You because you... Hold it. I'm not going to dispute because you know more about it than I do, but I want to see if I can follow your ideas. You said that the anger and the rage control them, but what drives the anger and rage is what I'm interested in.
I think... From a modern cognitive behavioral point of view, it's the stuff they tell themselves. You know, you and I can look at the same situation, and we tell ourselves different things. If your premise is one of, let's say, an unconstrained vision, you're more liberal. If you have more of a constrained, tragic view, you're more conservative. So both of us can look at the
Wait a minute. I like it. That was pretty glib of you. Wait, yeah. I want to hear that again. Let me hear that again. That was beautiful. Let me hear it again and see if I agree with it.
Well, this is a theory that's been out there, I guess, for like sort of a dozen years or so, which is that some of us have sort of a tragic view of life, which is that there are constraints on the world. You can't have everything you want. And those people tend to become conservative.
Hold on. Let me think about that. I have that viewpoint, but I don't think that's why I'm a conservative. But okay, now give me the liberal viewpoint.
That's one factor. But then another factor is if you believe I can have it all, in fact, I deserve it all, and somebody should provide it, otherwise the world is wrong and unfair towards me, then you tend to become more liberal.
You mean that the world owes you a living, in other words?
Yeah. Right. Now, that's
all right.
But I would
just add to this, since we're getting into the strictly political, that I was speaking with a boatsmith today, a man who came out and fixed some wood on my boat today. He's an expert in mechanics. And we were working together. I mean, I was watching him. He was taking out broken screws and fixing a broken rail. And he's a businessman. And he said to me, every businessman he knows on the Sausalito waterfront is ultimately a conservative politically because they don't like hyper-regulation and they hate high taxation. And they all love my show, is what he was saying. So in other words, even though they live in this liberal area of San Francisco and they work on the Sausalito waterfront in the boat industry, anyone in business recognizes that big government is against them. I don't think that has anything to do with emotions or sexuality.
But that's right. And people can get disturbed and then use sexuality. But even there, you know, if you have a moral view, which is everyone should be equal, then you're going to view injustice as anything that makes more money for one.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe everyone can be equal.
Right.
All we have to do is look at a basketball game and understand that there are some people who are better at basketball than others.
Right. Well,
okay, and then I apply that to every sphere of the world. You're not going to take everyone and turn them into a nuclear physicist, for example, or a surgeon. That's absurd. That's absolutely the communist point of view. And you know that that went on in communist China after the revolution, which is what scares the heck out of me and makes me sick when I listen to these unrequited leftists who tell me that every moron in America can become a brain surgeon if only they were given the chance. That's utter nonsense.
I agree with you. In fact, that's called the moralistic fallacy, that because I might be disadvantaged in some way, it's wrong, and therefore it isn't so. That's really a fallacy that says that if it's wrong, it isn't so, and that doesn't follow.
Well, look, you're a psychologist, and I have sympathy for educated people in this field, but I want to ask you, said Freud had it backwards. Tell me how he had it backwards.
Well, he had it half right in that sex, really, not sex evolved to get our genes into the next generation. So in that sense, he was correct. But he said that he made these fixed rules about these stages that you have to go through, and that if you didn't properly go through these stages, then you'd be messed up in life and have a...
Oh, what, the oral, the anal, the phallic, et cetera? Yeah, that whole theory?
I think he made all that up. But the reality is that when people get disturbed of various sorts because they put themselves down, or they put others down, or they put the world down, they get enraged, or they get grandiose, Then they're so upset that they use different means to appease themselves, whether it's more regulation or hurting others or.
But what about in Freud's view that sexuality as the causation of all neurosis? Would you agree with some of that or all of it or none of it?
I think you got to be very careful. I mean, obviously, sex is important in the sense that it motivates a lot of what we do. Now, a lot of that is unconscious. He was correct about that. Because let's say if I study painting or something, I'm not consciously thinking that this is going to get me laid. On the other hand, it might help me get that.
Well, what do you think people go to museums for?
Yeah, right. So
I'm joking. But how many people that are in museums are there to meet somebody? You have to ask yourself. You think everyone's there just to look at the paintings and the sculptings? I would think a lot of people are going there to meet sophisticated people looking at paintings and sculptings. In addition to looking at the art, they're pretending they're only looking at the painting, but maybe through the corner of their eye and the corner of their mind, they're hoping to meet somebody like themselves, somebody else who appreciates fine art. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Minnesota, Margaret, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling in response to your question about rechanneling the energy, good or bad. I feel most alive when I have a paintbrush in my hand. I've been painting Lake Superior because of the tumultuous nature of the lake itself, and I find a lot of solace in applying my energy towards something that could be long-lasting, could be an heirloom someday. If not, whatever. I it's more about the process. I made 30 paintings.
Okay, but no, this is very important. But did you originally pick up a paintbrush because you are wrestling with this issue?
No, it's my nature. I wrote poetry as a child and doodled around. And when I was a young adult, I went skydiving and I wanted extreme adrenaline. And then now I'm a grandma. So I've painted more recently as I've slowed down, as I mature. But I've been prone to painting, but I've more so in the last 5 years.
I understand. Worked. See, I myself have. You want to hear something funny? You look back on your life, you say, what did you want to do that you didn't do? The many times in my life I've tried to paint and I can't. There are things I've tried to do that I just can't do well, so I don't do them. I know that I don't have talent in that area. I could make horrendous paintings. I mean, I've gotten the brushes out and there were times in my life, but they're no good. I don't want to do anything that's not good. So that's interesting. So others would say, well, it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, do it anyway. Well, take a look at the Brooklyn Museum. You'll see how that works out. Take a look at what's going on in the art departments and universities today, where they've encouraged kids who really have no talent whatsoever to believe that because they smear paint on a canvas that it's an art. Or take a look at what the Obamas just with their poetry at the White House. It was not poetry. Nothing is gibberish. But they think because they tell someone to just write what enters their mind that it's art. It's not art. It's dreck in plain English. Pauline in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I wish I had the hypersexuality problem. Basically, I would direct it right towards my husband.
You direct it towards your husband?
Yes.
But you're saying you don't have any other impulses, though, other than he?
No. We had a good relationship, and then menopause hit, and it destroyed me.
And
so
what about him? Did
problem,
he did? But no, that's an interesting. It's nothing to joke about. I mean, you could turn it into a joke and ha-ha, but the man has the outlet through a sexual enhancement drugs like Viagra. Is that what happened?
No, he's okay. I'm the one with the problem, and we never had a problem until menopause hit me. And just for the pharmaceutical companies, they're always going after the guys like, okay, here's the blue pill. There's like a lot of gals out here that are waiting for the pink pill.
But maybe you don't need it. Did you ever think that this is nature's way of giving you a rest finally from that frenzy? Isn't that a beautiful thing to feel? Not to
no,
be driven like that?
I don't want that. I want to be back with my husband the way I used to.
I see. Okay, well, that's another story. A lot of people would say, thank God they don't feel it anymore. Doesn't mean that they stopped living. Yet I know people who are very old who have never lost the urge. So what are you going to do about it? New York City, WOR, Dave, go ahead, please. Your opinion counts. You're on the Savage Nation.
Now that you mention it, I
as far as the TV people making love to the camera. Now I figured out why I find TV distracting. Before that, I was wondering why.
That's a good separate joke. But no, I remember when I briefly had a 3-month television career, the director always said, look into the lens and make believe you're talking to someone you want to, whatever, you're making love to the camera. I never understood that. I could not consciously understand how you make love to a camera.
I find that my energy isn't directed towards a wife and 3 kids. Once you do that, it's pretty well safe.
Amen. There you go. Another healthy man. There's 2 now out of the whole nation. We heard 2 healthy men go the show. So I got to tell you a story that has nothing to do with sex and no sublimation at all. So today I told you I had a guy I knew came on my boat last week and he made a mistake. He tied the docking line in a high wind against the rail instead of through one of the apertures that are made for the line. And then when we docked, he said, I think I damaged your boat. And unfortunately, it tore the stainless steel rail right out of the teak rail, okay? And it really broke my heart because I keep my boat like a model ship. I was really angry and pissed off. So on Monday, I find the welding shop. The guy turns out to be a fan I didn't know, and he does the job for me in a half an hour. Can you imagine? Werner's Welding. Great guy. Straightens the rail out. Today, Tom List of List Marine and Sausalito comes down. Because I told him there were like 14 screws, like 7 of them were broken off and sticking out of the wood. Now, I don't know if you know anything about woodworking. It's murderously hard to get broken screws out of wood. He did it. He had all the special tools to do it. He fixed that rail and put it back in within less than an hour. But he had a box of tools. And, you know, I watched a man who works on wood and restores wooden ships and has always owned wooden boats. And he's a member of a wooden boat society in Sausalito of old shipwrights who build wooden ships and restore wooden ships. It's an amazing thing to see craftsmen at work in a world that is so computer-driven. You know, I mean, I grew up using tools, but when I meet a man who uses tools for a living and knows how to use tools, I respect them. I remember, I know people, by the way, I respect who don't know how to drive a nail. They couldn't cut a piece of wood correctly. But I think there's something lost in a society when kids grow up and they don't know how to use tools. What is wrong with a well-rounded person learning how to use tools? Nothing. And so much has been lost in our schools today. Such a waste of time. How much time is spent in schools today without a shop class? You're going to go to college? You're going to be a lawyer or a doctor? Why shouldn't you learn how to use a tool? I ask myself.
Savage.
Lance Ulanoff is the editor-in-chief for PCMag.com, and he's written extensively about how managing your private information online is becoming critical, more critical than ever. He joins us today on the Savage Nation to tell you how Rep. Anthony Weiner could have avoided the scandal and what you can do to keep embarrassing pictures of yourself from surfacing online. Lance, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michael.
Well, what is the number one lesson we can all learn from Congressman Weiner's Twitter scandal?
Well, I think you cannot assume anything you post online will remain private forever, even when you're using so-called private channels. So we did the right thing theoretically. He said, I want to have like a private conversation with this person, send her something that no one else can read. So Twitter has what's called direct messaging. And basically, the normal way Twitter works is you post something up, your 140-character post, and everybody who follows you can see it. In fact, people who aren't even following you can see that. It's really purely public information. The direct message channel is point-to-point. It's one person to one person. But that doesn't mean that someone can't basically use that, put it back out there. They can copy it. They can email it. They can do whatever they want with it. And there's nothing you can do about that. And for some reason, Congressman Weiner assumed that, oh, no, well, the word direct means private and means sacrosanct, and no one can show me, you know, show what I've said to anyone in any way. And, of course, that's not right. That's not true. And the fact of the matter is, pretty much anything you do in your digital world leaves a record, leaves digital debris, and leaves you sometimes open to a world of trouble.
What should people do to protect their privacy online?
I think we need to stop sharing quite so much. I mean, it's very odd that people have taken these social networks, the existence of these social networks, to mean that they can do whatever they want and say whatever they want, do things that they would never do in the real world, say things they would never say in the real world. You know, for example, people are posting photos of themselves. And why? What in the world would possess Congressman Wiener to take a photo of himself in his T-shirt or without a shirt and send it to somebody? You, just because it was sent privately, that is now a file, right? The digital image is a file. And the great thing about technology and digital data is that it can be copied endlessly and perfectly. It's the most portable thing in the world. It's tiny. It's easy to share. So we need to stop sharing these things unless we assume. You must start with the assumption that anything you put online could be shared with the world. So always imagine that. You're typing something. You're taking a picture. You're talking about going on vacation. You set it to just a few people. In your head, you should be thinking, what would my life be like if I said that to 6 billion people?
Has privacy become a thing of the past?
I think that we have to really start to think about what privacy actually means. I think privacy means offline. I don't believe that you can assume that online can be private. It's a rare circumstance where it truly can. We've seen this over and over again. Even emails that are, you know, that are really just between you and someone else, they can be subpoenaed. You know, if you're a public figure, you know, they're going to end up out there. Or just right now, you've got Sarah Palin's emails from when she was a governor out there because that is the right. That's what can happen. And, you know, she may have thought, well, wasn't some of that deleted? Nothing is. In the digital world, it's hard to actually delete files. You delete them, and what actually happens? You're telling the computer, make some more space for something else. But because our hard drives are massive now, our servers are massive, they don't have to overwrite that file anytime soon. So if somebody wants to go back in and find that deleted file, they will.
Do you think these type of events are going to become more common, huh?
They are. You know, weird. One unfortunate thing that's happening is I heard that congressional activity on Twitter since the Wiener scandal dropped over 20%. And this is a shame because it's a great tool for sharing information. Instead, they drop it like it's hot because they're terrified. Well, Wiener did a stupid thing. He just didn't have it in his head that what he put out there could be shared. But for reaching out to your constituents, to reaching out to your friends, to delivering a message, it's a great and powerful tool. But you must understand that it's a porous one, that words and images and messages travel far and they travel fast. So as long as you understand that, you're going to have a great experience. If you don't, you're going to be in for a lot of pain.
Have you heard of other cases like this where people got fired for misusing social media?
Well, if they're using the work computer, using the work network, I think that they can. You'll see a lot of people will put in their social feeds, they'll say, these words, anything I say and do does not represent the words or actions or intentions of my company. That does some protection there. But I think that, you know, a lot of times when people have some sort of presence online, it can be because of where they work. But if they have a private life, a MySpace page or a Facebook page or something like that, and that's more or less a so-called private environment, they're probably fine as long as they remember that the stuff can get out. And if they say something that the company feels like they have to defend them for, they may not want to, and they'll say, you know what, we don't want to be held liable for this. We're going to just let you go. I don't know if people have actually been fired, but I'll tell you one thing that has happened. People have not been hired. When you go in for a job interview, especially this is a message I wanted to deliver to young people. When you go in for a job interview, before you deliver your first resume, do some cleanup. Look at your social accounts. Look at what people have posted about you, what you've posted yourself, anything you've written, anything that can be found through Google. Start cleaning up as much as you can, because the first thing your potential employer will do is Google your name. If they see drunken pictures at Mardi Gras, things that are going to embarrass you, they're going to think twice. I think that you can't unsee things. You can say that things are held to a different standard, but good luck unseeing what you saw. And wouldn't you rather, you know, when you walk into a job interview, you wear a suit, right? People still wear suits. This kind of takes away that control because they can look at the suit, they can look at your resume and smile at you and hear your words, and then they go online and they make what they consider a more complete picture. So it's, you know, I don't know what the standard should be, but I think the reality is they're going to look.
Well, I mean, do you really think social media is good for society?
I think it is. I think it has tremendous power. It's had a lot of it's played a role in the Arab Spring, helps people organize, helps people deliver message, helps people find great deals on products, helps people get help with things that don't work. You know, if you complain about a company on Twitter or Facebook sometimes, but mostly on Twitter, they'll find you and say, I'm sorry you had a bad experience. What can we do for you? There is value here. It's just that people must go in with their eyes open. I think that's just the only problem I have. They don't. They overshare because they don't understand, and then they're shocked when bad things happen. I think it's a risk you take, but I will say that, for example, in Facebook in particular, there are a tremendous amount of privacy controls, and you can clamp those down pretty tight if you want, and it does help. It certainly can be part of the picture. So they're already doing that. Twitter has fewer controls. I don't know if somebody will come along with more controls because, you know, the reality is the more tightly you control it, the less interesting it becomes. It's just finding that line between engagement and oversharing.
Lance Ulanoff, thanks for coming on the Savage Nation.
Michael, so thank you so much for having me on. By the way, you can find out a lot more about this kind of stuff and all kinds of technology. You can either follow me on Twitter at Lance Ulanoff, or you can go to PCMag.com, and there are tons and tons of technology stories.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Houston, Texas. Carlos, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Carlos?
Yes, Doctor. I just wanted to say that I think that most males on this planet, animal or human, are not monogamous.
Well, I've read that biologically the male is not monogamous, and that the institution of marriage is one created for the stability of the family. And unto itself, a man has to commit himself to the family by eschewing his sexual urges and focusing instead on the family instead of his desire to sow his wild oats on a regular basis.
Well, I can agree with that, Doctor. But I'm glad that you are kind of agreeing with me as far as.
Well, I am agreeing with you. I am. Biologically, the male wants to sow his seed disperse his seed. Let's put it to you that way. The male is made that way. But the institution of marriage is designed to raise a family with a father. And as you well know, the healthier children come from a father and a mother. The nuclear family produces healthier children, no matter what the liars tell you in the psychological world. No matter how they lie to you, the child needs a mother and a father. It is a strain for some men, but it's not a strain for all men. I assume you yourself are not married, Carlos. You have not found the woman who you're willing to satisfy your urges with.
No, I've been married 40 years.
Oh. So how did you control your non-monogamy?
I didn't.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Is this a confessional or a talk radio show?
No, it's just the truth.
All right, so wait a minute. So you're telling me you haven't married 40 years, but you have not been faithful?
No, I have not.
Now, I'm not trying to pry. It really isn't my business. But, in other words, does your wife know about your impulses?
I've had many mistresses in my 40 years. I have several. Many, I would say.
No, but I'm saying, is your wife aware of them?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's no way that you can hide women and children. And at my age, you get involved with a woman. She usually has children. You're not going to hide no woman and two kids or something like that from anyone.
But I'm saying, you're original. Are you still married to the same woman that you married originally?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And does she know this is who you are?
She's very intelligent, and yes, she knows exactly who I am.
All right, you know what? Let me explain something to you. Many women will accept that the men are like, some men are like that, and they live with it, by the way. And apparently that's the lifestyle you chose, but of course most women wouldn't. And by the way, social mores are changing to the extent that many women would like to enjoy the same freedom in that regard that men have thought to be their privilege, and that's the problem today. And that's why many young women will not get married. They're not willing to suppress their sexuality for the sake of a family either, which is why the population is dying in the United States of America. The more highly educated they are, the lower the morality quotient. And it's absolutely true. The higher the educational quotient, generally, the lower the morality, the lower the LM, the LMQ. There's nothing you can do about it. And I've talked about this, and I think sexuality is always an interesting topic. I think that ultimately sexuality is very political. And I guess what I'm getting at here is that the left-wing establishment now is trying to declare sexuality, male sexuality, in the traditional sense of very hypersexual male sexuality, to be an illness so they can declare it to be such and put it into the DSM, the Diagnostic Manual, whatever that may be. Virtually every act of a human being is now considered to be a disorder. When the day they put liberalism in the DSM is the day I'll start believing in psychology. Because as you well know, I've defined this as a mental disorder. There's no other explanation for the suicidal behavior of extreme liberalism, by the way. Now, to say Tiger Woods, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the Frenchie, who are caught in sex scandals, are suddenly sex addicts, I don't think they're sex addicts. They're hypersexual men. But I don't know that that's an illness. That's the way they are. And by the way, Frenchie's wife knew what he was doing. Everyone in France knew that he was a socialist perv. Everybody in France knew that this is who Frenchie was. If he actually did this, he was a fool. In his case, this was not a disorder. This was stupidity. With that man's power and money, he could have dialed a woman up in New York City at Softytel Hotel. You're telling me the Softytel Hotel chain couldn't have provided him with the service he was looking for? Why did he have to impose himself upon a chambermaid? And that's why I don't think it's a true story. Something doesn't make sense in the whole picture. Now, if he did this, then maybe he is mentally nuts if he actually jumped on that woman and forced her. You know, I mean, then that's not even a mental illness. That's a criminal act. You know what I'm saying? Now that they can wear trousers, I have a better idea. Why can't maids go in two at a time? Why solo? Especially for a suite of this size in the Softytel Hotel, it makes no sense to me. So, okay, there's a lot of Strauss-Kahn cartoons coming out from around the world. I believe that the Softytel Hotel should provide them with the option of wear. And frankly, when it protects a woman from a crazed male, I'm all for it. They should have the right to do their job without being molested. Okay, let's be clear. But the fact of the matter is, I think this was beyond that. I think this man, if he did rape her, was a sick man. It had nothing to do with his sexuality, incidentally. But anyway, let's get back to the desire on the part of the liberal establishment to declare hypersexuality as a disorder. What do you think about that? Linda in New York, WOR, go ahead. What do you think?
I could say that I'm a hypersexual if it's put that way, because I like men and I like to have sex. But it doesn't mean that I'm having sex with many men, right? I have desires. You know, I think about sex in my mind, but that doesn't make me a sick person. Right.
Well, but let's say in your daily life, let's say you're going around. Do you fantasize many men during the day? As many, like, say you're in New York City, millions of people. Do you often get like, oh wow, he's great, blah blah blah?
If I find a very good looking man, yes, I can think about it.
So in that sense, you're no different than a male. It's just that males think they're the only ones who do it. And by the way, a lot of men suffer guilt. They think there's something wrong with them because they can't stop obsessing about sex. But this is interesting. I think this was studied even in my day 30 years ago, and it was found that men fantasize about women almost all day long, even at work. They cannot stop fantasizing about sexuality, especially when they're younger. But isn't that nature's imperative? Isn't that what produces children? To have that kind of urge that's so overwhelmingly powerful and overwhelmingly strong, especially in young, viable people, is that not what nature designed us to have in order for us to find a mate and to have children?
Exactly. That's it.
Right. So in other words, it's normal to have that kind of impulse. And men should not. Yeah, at the end of the day, men or women who have these fantasies all the time, if it's not really wrecking their lives, what's why feel bad about it? This is who you are. This is how the machine set it up. You're supposed to feel those things. Now, on the other hand, there are those who sublimate that drive and usually produce great things, incidentally. If you can take that sexual energy, this is an amazing discussion. You got to understand that if you, this is very Freudian, by the way, what I'm about to tell you, but I'm from another era. If you believe that Freud was correct, and I do believe he was the genius of all geniuses, he was the peasant avante of psychology, of psychiatry. Nobody has ever succeeded him in his genius. And I've read all of Freud, I've read all of Jung, and I've read all of Adler. I have not seen anyone come along since. I know they are a behavioralist and they use medication, but in terms of analyzing things, Sigmund Freud in his analysis by saying that, in essence, I'll make it very simple. It's like trying to say Einstein developed a theory of relativity equals MC squared. I'm sure there's a lot more to it than that. Freud said that we're all fundamentally sexual creatures and driven by our sexuality all of our lives, and all of our neurosis is derived from repressed sexuality. I think that's a fairly good summation of Freud's Freudian psychology, right? Is that we're all sexual, and all of our neurotic behavior or even psychotic behavior derives from sexual repression. Now, if you start with that premise, a lot of your life starts to make sense. But you can go from that to this, which is if you learn how to take that intense coil of desire within you, let's say you're obsessing, you can't control it. But if you learn how to sublimate that energy, think of it as an energy in you. Instead of hating it, instead of running from it, instead of fearing it, learn how to use it. You can literally destroy mountains. You can create mountains with that energy. What do you think an artist is doing by sculpting or painting obsessively? You can look at it from the point of view of Freud and say that it's sexual sublimation, if you wish. You can say that every building in Manhattan is a result of sexual sublimation. I'm not the first one to say this to you.
Savage.